Please remain standing for our scripture lessons if you're able to. Our Old Testament lesson is found in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, verses 11 through 14, which should be found on the screen before you or in your pew Bibles. This is also the basis for this morning's message. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. And our epistle lesson for this morning is James chapter 1, verses 22 through 27. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. And our gospel lesson for this morning is found in the book of John, chapter 16, verses 23 through 28. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. Very truly, I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Though I've been speaking figuratively, a time is coming when I will no longer use this kind of language, but will tell you plainly about my Father. In that day, you will ask in my name. I'm not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. No. The Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I am leaving the world and I'm going back to the Father. And for our confession this morning, we're going to be using a confession of sin, which can be found on the screen before you or in your pew hymnals on page number 50. We'll be using the 14th confession. And as we do this, this is in preparation for taking Holy Communion. We'll be taking Christ's body and blood. And one of the things that it's very important that we do is that we examine ourselves so we take in a worthy manner. We ask ourselves, am I a Christian? And am I sorry for my sins? This confession will help us to confess our sins as we are sorry for them. And let us confess together. Almighty God, before you all hearts are open, all desires known, and no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. I acknowledge and confess that I am by nature sinful. I have omitted doing good and have done evil in thought, word, and deed. I have offended you, my God and Savior, and desire your forgiveness and mercy. I repent of all my sins. Jesus' name, and for his sake, amen. And if this be your sincere confession, and if with penitent hearts you earnestly desire the forgiveness of your sins, for the sake of Jesus Christ, God, according to his promise, forgives you all of your sins. And by the authority of God's word, and by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, I declare to you that God, through his grace, forgives you all of your sins. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of every present heart be acceptable to you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I just got to take a quick side note. And, you know, the scriptures where it talks about the disciples were pushing the kids away. Jesus doesn't have any time for the kids. Oh, it's so neat to talk to kids about our faith, you know? And I just want to encourage you, parents and grandparents, I know how difficult it can be sometimes, you know, especially when the kids decide to take Vaseline and put all over your brand new couch, you know, or something else like that. And there's some really hard times in parenting and being a grandparent and even being an adult and in another child's life. Maybe you don't have other kids of your own right now or grandkids. But you know what? God has given us these precious little children with young minds that desire to grow in their relationship with the Lord just as we do as adults. And I can see why Jesus was upset when the disciples were saying, hey, keep these kids away. Because Jesus loves kids and he loves us too. You know, a couple weeks ago, I preached my sermon on the book of Lamentations, you know, and it was probably a book that perhaps maybe some of you have never read before. And if that is the case, I really hope and pray that you spent some time in the Word and read through the book of Lamentations. It's a rather difficult book to read, as it's a series of laments and mourning. But as I was preaching through that, I was explaining how it was written in response to the destruction of Judah at the hands of the Babylonians. And that King Nebuchadnezzar had carried off the wealth, the riches, and all of the skilled people of Judah, so that all was left were just common laborers in Jerusalem. And they were just basically there to kind of make ends meet and kind of keep the city together to some degree for the Babylonians. But all of the best was carried off. The temple was destroyed. And really, Jerusalem and Judah ceased to exist for the most part. And on top of this, God declared to the Jews that had been carried away that they were going to be in captivity for a really long time, because there's a lot of prophets that were saying, oh, no, God's going to rescue you. You're going to be set free in just a couple years. God will deliver you. Except that was not what God was saying. These were false prophets who continued to try to lead the people astray. But God had Jeremiah, who at that time was still in Jerusalem, to write a letter to these captives in Babylon. And in that letter, Jeremiah writes, as God told him, that they were going to be captives for 70 years. That's a whole generation. Imagine that. Being born in a foreign country and growing up and becoming old and never even knowing what Jerusalem would to look like. And why was this? Why did God do this to the Jewish people? God was punishing the Jews for their sins, and this punishment was going to be for a very long time. Yet in the midst of this bondage, in the midst of the punishment inflicted on them by God, God wanted Jeremiah to give a message of hope to the Jews. God wanted his children, the Jews, to know that even though he has and will continue to punish them for a really long time, that God hasn't turned his back on them. That God wasn't washing his hands of his chosen people and said, I'm done with you and I'm tired of your sins. I'm walking away. So Jeremiah sent this letter to all the captives in Babylon. And about halfway through this letter, God writes to his people through the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah 29, starting with verse 10, says this. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. Wow. It's kind of tough, isn't it? I mean, it's supposed to be a message of hope. And here God says, you know what? This is going to last for 70 years. And I'm like 43 now. I wouldn't be alive if I was taken to Babylon. I wouldn't be alive when God would deliver our nation if I was in my 40s. Then I'd have to believe that God would keep his promise. But he does say that he was going to deliver the Jews, and that he was going to bring them back, that he was going to fulfill his promise. God tells the people that they will indeed pay for their sin of rebellion, that they will indeed pay for their sins of building idols and worshiping other gods. But God says, I will be faithful. I will be gracious. And I will fulfill the promise given not just to you, not just to David, but all the way back to Abraham, when he told Abraham that he would bless his children and make them into a mighty nation. This is amazing news. The news gives hope to the Jews that their punishment will one day end, that one day they will be set free. And as amazing as a promise as this is, God has so much more for his children. As powerful a message as it is that God has for the captives of Babylon, that they're going to be set free, I believe that this message of hope given to the Jews specifically can also be related to us. That this message given to God's children then also applies to us today. Obviously, we're not held in captivity. We're not held by a foreign country right now. We haven't been conquered yet. But we can listen to the promises given to these Jews and say, these promises belong to me as well. And how do we know that? Because the Jews were God's chosen children. And we are God's chosen children as well when we, by faith, put our trust in Jesus Christ, right? Isn't that what it means to be a Christian? That we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. The Bible says then we will be saved. We will be delivered from our sins. So these promises that I read to you that apply to the Jews specifically, as I read these promises, allow them to apply to your life as well. Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 14, I'll read this again. For God says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me, and when you seek me with all your hearts, I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile." God wants his people to know that he has so much more for them in store than just future liberation from the Babylonians. It wasn't just that they had to look forward to the fact that one day that they would be freed. One of the greatest promises that God declares to the exiled Jews, as well as us today, is that simply this: he has a plan for us. He has a plan for his children. You know, throughout history, so many people have wrestled and struggled with this concept of, what is the meaning of life? What's my purpose? Why am I here? You know, so many people today, I believe, lead sad and depressed lives because they feel like they lack significance. What's the point of my being? Why am I really here? I mean, after all, if we're just random, spontaneous acts of mutations that were created out of cosmic goo, what real purpose do we have? Because that's what evolution teaches. And yet, as we read in the Bible, God created us and formed us and has given us a purpose in life, a plan. That each and every one of you, regardless of your age, regardless of your gender, regardless of what you've done in life or what you haven't done in life, God says, you are special and unique, and I have a purpose for you, a plan for you. Now, I remember as a young kid, you know, I'd see cartoons of people wanting to find the meaning of life, and they would have to scale giant mountains, and on top of the mountain, they'd come across some Indian guru who would be sitting somewhere with his hands like this, and they would say, "What is the meaning of life?" And they would oftentimes reply with something silly. But, you know, the truth of the matter is that we in our culture struggle with finding significance. We struggle with understanding, what is the plan for us? Why are we here? The point is this: God's got a plan. God has a purpose for you. And when we properly understand that God crafted us special and unique, and that we are made in the very image of God, and that God has set apart a plan and a purpose that only you can fulfill, it gives us significance. It gives us meaning. Maybe you're thinking, well, that's easy for you to say, Pastor. You don't know the pain in my life. You don't know the turmoil. You don't know what I'm going through. What kind of a plan does God really have for me? Well, let's look at Scripture to see what that plan looks like for you, Christian. Verse 11 details the plan that God has for you. God says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." You see, God was clearly telling the Jews in captivity, as well as us today who have placed our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ, that today God says, "I have a plan for you. And it's not for your harm, but it's for you to prosper." What does that mean, to prosper? You know, in our culture, prosperity oftentimes is linked to monetary wealth. Oh, I like that. Yeah, I'll take some prosperity, Pastor. I want some of that. But you know, prosperity is much more than just having wealth. God wants us to prosper. It means that He wants us to thrive. That God has given us an environment to work in where we can thrive, not just survive. I mean, we've gone through those times in our lives, haven't we, Christian? Where you feel like all we can do is wake up in the morning and take breaths in and expel air out. And if I'm lucky, that's all I can do. Because we go through those seasons in our lives where we say, "Lord, all I can do is just wake up, and I can barely do that." But God says, "There's so much more I have for you than just surviving, than just getting by. I want you to prosper. I want you to thrive." And God says in His Word that He wants to give us a strong hope and a future. A hope that doesn't disappoint us, but a hope that is dependent upon our faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord. And God's plan may take you through a period of feeling crushed and depressed and broken. But I'm here to tell you, this won't last forever. I heard a man speak. His name was Tim Hansel. He was once a very powerful and strong athlete, and he pushed himself past his self-imposed boundaries and was able to run crazy amounts of distance and climb mountains, and he developed a whole ministry about being physically fit. And one day he was mountain climbing and fell, I don't know, a crazy amount of stories and landed on rocks. And he didn't die. And he got up and he walked back to his car with his other people. And then by the time he got back to his car, his adrenaline had shut down and he was crippled up. And from that point to the day that he died, he lived in intense and agonizing pain. When I heard him speak at a men's retreat in New York, he had shared with us, "Men, if you see me speak and I go into convulsions, don't be afraid, because that oftentimes happens to me, because when my fatigue reaches a certain level, because my pain is always extreme, but when my fatigue reaches a certain level, my body literally shuts down and starts going into convulsions. But don't worry about it." And I heard this man speak about how God had a plan for his life. And I thought, man, that's sad. Here's a man who was once strong and athletic and had everything going for him. Then he has this accident. What kind of a plan would God use with a cripple? But how many of you have heard Johnny Erickson Tata? Isn't she a cripple as well? And yet God is using her in a mighty and powerful way. And yet, have they prospered? Well, I'm here to tell you, if we properly look at eternity, maybe we live 80, 90, even 100 years on this earth. And maybe most of those years are filled with struggle and pain. But I'm here to tell you that this is not all there is for a Christian's life. When we, by faith, trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord, we are going to stand before God and He's going to say, "Come and enter into my peace." He's going to give us new bodies. And we're going to live in an eternity with a beautiful, new and vibrant body. And we'll look back on this time we lived on earth as so short that we can barely remember it. So let's keep things in perspective. Maybe a lot of your life is dealing with feelings of crushed and being depressed and being broken. But this won't last forever. Many of the Jews that were taken captive would never be set free physically. When they were told that you were going to be here for 70 years, it was a death sentence. They wouldn't be set free before they died. But they could place their trust and their hope in a God who says, "I have a future for you. A future where you are given a new body. A future where you will be living where there'll be no sin. A future where the sun will always be bright and shining because the glory of the Lord never sets. And God blessed those Jews, and he's here to say, I bless you as well. Now you might be saying, well, Pastor, how did God bless the Jews that were in captivity? How did God even give them a hope then? And I think back to my days of VBS, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were in Babylon, weren't they? And they were told, you better bow down to that king. And they said, no. And they were thrown into the fiery furnace, and then they came out untouched. And because of their strength and their faith in God, and that they didn't bow their knee to a foreign god, God blessed them richly. And then how about Daniel? Here was a man who wouldn't stop praying to God, even though it was illegal. And he was thrown into a literal lion's den. He probably thought, this is it. But he trusted in the Lord. And the Lord saw him through it. The point I'm saying is this. I want to encourage you right now. Right now, maybe you're feeling a little hopeless. Right now, maybe you're feeling like there's no good outcome in my life. No matter which way I look, there's never going to be a good plan. But know the truth that God does have a plan for you, that God does have a future for you, and that God says, I want you to prosper. And it may not be monetarily, but God says, you don't need to just survive. I want you to thrive. I want to give you hope. I want to give you a future. I want you to prosper. And then as we see God's plan for our lives unfold, we have a response to that plan. When God tells us these amazing things, if we look at verses 12 and following from our sermon text, we see how we are to respond to this. God says, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. As we move forward in our lives, trusting in God's plan, trusting in God's purpose, it helps us to connect with God on a much deeper level. God is not just a God of the universe who sits on his heavenly throne and looks down on us like ants, and he only judges cosmic matters that are of great importance. God is a personal, loving God that desires to be in our lives in a very close and intimate manner. When your faucet is leaky, when your car breaks down, when you have an upset stomach at night or acid reflux and you say, man, God, this is tough. Do you really think God cares about that? He does. God cares about that because God loves you intimately and God has a plan for your life. And when we cry out to God, God listens to us. That's what the scripture says. I remember when I was struggling over the possibility of the first call that I was to take. And I was told some really hurtful things by some of the leadership of the church. And I had pretty much made up my mind. There is no way I'm going to go to serve that church. That's what I told God. And then the night of an elder meeting, I was going to Cub Foods, and I turned on the radio, and it was Chuck Swindoll talking about forgiveness. And I realized that was God speaking to me, that I needed to forgive. And when I stopped the car, before I got out, I spent some time in prayer. Lord, I need to forgive these guys for what they did, because it was wrong. But Lord, help me to forgive them. And I did. And I still wasn't going to take the church, right? But I went to that meeting that night, and before that meeting even happened, the elder president, who had really hurt me, came into my office and said, Rich, I just want to say I'm sorry, because the way that we did this was wrong. Wow. Does God have a plan for my life? Yeah, he did. And I got to say that that first church that I served was that church. Was it always easy? Absolutely not. But was the ministry powerful? Yes. Did God have a reason for me to be there? Yes. Did I enjoy it for the most part? Absolutely. But what it took was for me to submit my will, to say, Lord, I need to act the act. I need to live my life as a Christian. I need to surrender my will to you. Likewise, God has a plan for your life as well. God has a future for you. I don't know what you're going through right now. I don't know what your struggles are for everyone. I know some of you have got some very real struggles right now that you're dealing with. Some of you are dealing with stuff that's so deep and personal that you can't bear to share it with hardly anyone. But I want to tell you this. God's not done with you. God's got a plan for you. God has a future for you, and He wants you to thrive. Not just survive, but to thrive. And if God's going to listen to me, some young, arrogant, brash pastor from the East Coast that was struggling with forgiveness, He's going to listen to you. God desires to be intimately involved in your life. And when we find God, when we seek after Him, when we spend time in His Word, the Bible, when we do our devotions, when we attend church or Bible studies, when we fellowship with other Christians, we open ourselves up for God to speak truth into our lives. People say, well, I never hear God, Pastor. Well, do you read your Bible? Do you go to church? Do you go to Bible studies? Do you fellowship with other Christians? Because that's how God speaks to us by and large. There are very few people that are ever going to hear the physical voice of God. But I'm here to tell you that God wants to speak to us clearly through His Word. And He does. The captive Jews being held in Babylon and beyond must have felt alone, isolated, and abandoned. Where was the God of their fathers? What would become of them now as they were held in captivity? Their lives were turned upside down. And it appeared that there's no future and no hope. And yet God spoke through His prophet Jeremiah, giving them, the captive Jews, comfort and peace and hope. Today we don't need prophets because we have God's Word. Because God has already told us everything that we need to hear and to understand how to live a life of righteousness in His Word, the Bible. God told the captives held in Babylon to search after Him. And as they sought after God, God would reveal Himself to them. I'm here to tell you today, if you are looking for your plan, if you're struggling to find out what is my purpose, search after God and He will answer. In closing, for the Jews being held captive, God wanted them to know absolutely that He was still sovereign. That He was still in control, that He still had a plan for them and a purpose for them. And that right now, God is saying to you, I have a plan for you. I have a purpose for you. I know your struggles. I know the difficulties in your life, God says, but you are here for a purpose, and I have a plan for you. Are you struggling to find direction in life? Are you looking for the plan that God has for you and your family? I want to encourage you to simply call upon the Lord. Ask. Seek after Him. Knock. And He will be found. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the fact that You tell us in Your Word that You have given us a reason for hope and a plan and a future. So, Father, we ask that You'd speak into our hearts as we search after our plan. Lord, that You'd speak to us. And, Lord, sometimes those plans that You have for us are difficult and hard. Help us to be open to them. And Lord, help us to say, as You taught us, Jesus, not my will, but Your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.